Think of it. We just come back to the other aspect of comedy here. I was talking about the modern comedians that are coming through these days. There doesn't seem to be an affection for these comedians that happens now. Whereas years ago, there was affection for comedians. They were held in such regard. Lovely people. You would want to meet them in that. And you held them, as I say, in high esteem. And I would say that's replies to the man that's on the satellite link, if I'm not rightly mistaken, this morning. And it is the legendary host of Bullseye, Mr. Jim Bowen. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Roy. How are you?
By the Monday miracle of science, you are joined to me by satellite link up.
Well, yes, I'll tell you what a sensible guy, that Carl.
Yeah.
What a sensible guy. Mm. There's a gentleman allowing us to say, within reason, what we think. We've got to the stage now where we're frightened what we think, never mind what we say.
Yeah.
It's quite appalling. Am I right to ramble on now, Roy?
You ramble away, sir.
All right. Well, I do these Warner hotels, you know, the big, where the stately homes, and they made them into adult-only weekends, you know, like weekend breaks and things. And I do a routine about me being in... Mine's all old hat. I just reminisce. I just ramble now, right? So it's not a stand-up spot. It's a sort of lie down and breathe your way through it spot. And I tell this story about this guard commander who's telling us... It's an old gag. And I just talk about my national service. It's autobiographical. And I say we were being inspected by this guard commander who had a little stammer. Right? Now, Ronnie Barker made light of stammering in such a skillful way.
Oh,
with
God,
morons.
Yeah.
You know, now, anybody who takes offence at that, I just find, as a guy called Patrick Stewart at one time, made a career out of stammering on chat shows. Mm. Now, we know it's not brilliant to be a stammerer, and it can't be easy, but it's also not very nice to be in a wheelchair. Ask Little Britain, because it's the star. Mm. Now, and I did this thing, and I've been known to be quite funny at times. I mean, it's in the past, I know, but on a case, and I tell this story about this guard commander who says, now, if you hear a noise in the undergrowth, shout, and I did the gag, and it pulls the place in. You know the gag, don't you?
I know it, yeah.
And he said, if he shouts, shoot the bugger, but give it a minute, it might be me. I mean, that's the gag. Mm. Now, that there is no intent of offence at all. It's to make light. Incidentally, it did happen, and the officer who did exist was one of the best guys you could ever wish to meet. Mm. So we're never in there to we never intend to offend, none of us. This is where Carl has it right. And you've got if you're going to be a comedian, you've got to have a sense of humour. But if you're going to see a comedian, it's quite nice if you go in with one. Bernard, to me, was one of the best timers of a line ever.
Absolutely.
And one of the kindest, one of the most generous men. He did things and things for people that nobody knew about. But you know what's on the ticket. What's on the tin, don't you? Mm. And Bernard used to go on. I mean, he used to introduce me. He said, I've got coming on now. I've got Jim Bowen coming on now. And if he lives to be as old as he looks, he'll do bloody well. Now, so basically, if you take that to its ultimate, I'm going to be offended at being him insinuating that I look knackered. But we're in comedy, for God's sake.
Yeah.
There's nobody being sent to Iraq. There's nobody having any pensions sort of cancelled. So, this could be a good thing of Carl's. I mean, I don't know how it'll develop, this freedom of thought aspect and freedom of ideas. But there's nobody going out wounded. We're not breaking anybody's arm when they walk out. Mm. And we're not forcing them in. And I see some of the stuff on television now, and this is a grumpy old man talking, and I'm 70, so I'm qualified, right? And I've seen language on there from Gervais and the stuff that Jenny Eclair comes and on television. She goes on Richard and Judy as the aunt who solves and discusses all social problems. And you see, her act is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I don't see. It's one shoe for one and one shoe for the other.
I've just been talking about it, Jim. I totally agree with you.
And we lose every time. I don't lose now because I go out to Warners. I do my stammering. I do my bits and bobs. And I don't worry about it anymore, because if you worry about it, you cease to be a comic. Once you start to break things down and say, but shouldn't laugh about that. Fella slips on a banana skin. It's the old story. Laurel and Hardy, what do? It's assault. What Stan Laurel did to Oliver Hardy was just smack him with a plank. God almighty, you can't do that.
One of the things that started over here, now they're going to bring it into force, is they're going to put 18 certificates on things like Tom and Jerry cartoons and what have you, because of the smoking.
Well, I just think we're losing the will to live, and the sooner we get this nanny society off our backs, and just let's get on with life. Don't bother with comedians. Have a look at taking 10 pence off the income tax, and have a look at, don't worry about us, because we're not doing a lot of damage. The only damage we are doing is to people who think too much about breathing.
Mm. So what's the score? Why is it that we don't seem to be getting the affection that we seem to have, used to have for comedians?
I think the start of it, do you know, Roy, I think, well, I've thought about it a lot. We were doing it in the 70s and up to probably the end of the 70s. Well, no, we're old hat. We know, you don't need to tell us we're old hat. We know. We look in the mirror, it tells us every morning. and you know,
I must confess, Jim, you did have some of the most dubious sideburns of the comedians of the day.
Yeah. Yes, they were illegal, weren't they? You know, I could get Sky Digital on them. It's crazy. But, I mean, people used to go out on a Friday night when they'd seen the comedians. Say, did you hear him tonight? Did you catch him? Anyway, tell him. Sampan Gibral. It's all rubbish, but it was lovely rubbish. And the affection bit was something, do you know, I'd never really thought about until I heard you say it this morning. And when I go into play, and this is not being self-gratuitous, it's not being, but I feel this incredible warmth. Uh-huh. When I'm going to these Warner places, where no kids, and they're all over 50, I can run away from all of them, you know. And I just, when I go on, you think, Christ, the place to see me. Do you know what I mean? But I think what started it was, do you know, I think it might have been Ben Elton.
Yeah.
Because Ben took comedy from being, it's not a science, it's not an art, it's just a fumble. That's all it is. We're not creative geniuses, we're not doing anything all that imaginative, we're just looking at the funny side of life and having this. And then Ben came in, I think Ben was the first, and he'd be, well, you're talking about your magazine, get up, I'm talking about it. And people started to laugh at that. The nasty side of life, they sort of laughed at it. We sort of laughed at the chap who didn't have his bus fare and tried to pay in yen and all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
The humour became more aggressive. Since then, which is quite fascinating, I've talked to Ben since, and you watch his work now, it's far more gentle. And he's a very clever man. There's no doubt there's an intellect there to die for. But at the beginning, I think they have to make a point. But when I looked at Little Britain, I didn't look at it a lot. I looked at it once where David Williams, who's an incredibly talented man, he's Kenneth Williams, I mean, just phenomenally talented, and incidentally a good swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
I see him in a library, wearing a frock, urinating for Europe in a library floor. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, hello, what am I doing here? What's funny about this fellow having a massive pee in the library?
I know. One of the things we've just got to pick up there, I would imagine during the course of your career that you will have never had somebody who had a stammer, or maybe Frank Carson would never have somebody of Irish origin come up and say, you know what, you offended me.
No, you know, they didn't.
And as I say, this comes back to the affection. And I see so many things on the television these days which is downright offensive.
Well, I honestly, yeah. And the thing is about that, you see, Roy, you've no choice. It's there before you can switch it on. It's there. Mm. At least with us, to come and see us, you've got to pay to get in.
Yeah.
The guy who won't, am I all right for time?
I'll give it a minute or so, mate.
Right, very, very quickly, I'll just epitomise modern humour. I did the festival 2 years ago and surprisingly enough did okay. I went to see this guy who won the Perrier Award. He said, when I was young, he said, I was very deprived. He said, I was just seeking affection. My father was a doctor, he said. He wasn't a very good doctor, but he never gave me any affection, neglected. He said, do you know what I did? I shaved my head completely and told him I'd got leukaemia. How funny is that? How funny is that? Mm. And that guy won the Perrier.
He won it.
So comedy's going that way, so I shall just stay out of it, Roy.
Jim, mm. Thanks very much for taking time to speak to us this morning, mate. Appreciate that.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Always nice
Jim,
to talk to you.
Where are you out and about then, if people want to see you in action?
I join the ship on the 20th of April with Fred Olson, the Boudic. I do 15 days away. And I've got another booking in 2012, November the 11th, where I think I'm opening a sweet shop.
Nice.
But it's many years away.
I look forward to it. Jim Bowen, thanks very much, mate.
It's a pleasure, sir.